Well, good morning. Good morning. Yeah, thank you. I thought you were nodding off. So happy Super Bowl Sunday. You excited? Happy Super Bowl Sunday. I don't know if you've heard this story or not before, but when New England Patriot quarterback Drake May got to heaven, he was talking with God, and God showed him this home, and you know, it wasn't really fancy at all, but it was nice, well taken care of, and there was a New England Patriot kind of faded flag in the window, and God said, "This is your home. This has been prepared for you, and you know, you're very blessed because not everybody is going to have this." And he's, "Oh, thank you, God, thank you." And so he's walking up towards his house, and he notices to his right, there is this incredible three-story mansion, and it is painted blue, green, and gray, and there is a 50-foot pole with a Seattle Seahawks flag. And Drake goes, "You know, don't think that I'm not thankful for what you've given me, but how come Sam gets that big mansion?" And he goes, "Oh, that's not Sam's house. That's mine." Hey, pretty sure that God's not overly concerned about who is going to be winning the Super Bowl. And as we come together today in worship, we're continuing our study in this book of the Philippians, which is known for its joy, even though its writer is under house arrest in Rome. Not the most fun situation to be in. We see that in this passage we're going to look at, the Apostle Paul wants to encourage the church at Philippi. And he is going to send some of his friends, and it's between 800 and 1,300 miles away, depending on what route you took, but he is going to send two of his friends. Now, I'm going to read the scripture now, so if you are able, if you would please stand. We are reading Philippians 2, starting with verse 19, going through 30. The Apostle Paul writes these words, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interests and not for those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed, because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow in a word of prayer, please? Gracious Lord, may our hearts surrender fully to you as we bow before your word. May it encourage us and challenge us. May it give us greater insight in what it means to be a follower of the King. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen and amen. Go ahead and be seated. So the average person has about 338 friends on Facebook. Sometimes my husband will be looking at Facebook and he reads this list to me. He's like, "Hey, dear, do you know who this person is? Dear, do you know who this person is? They want to befriend me." A Harvard study shows that the average person has 100 to 150 acquaintances, 10 to 15 people in their social circle, and 3 to 5 really good, close friends. So in seventh grade, and I think I've mentioned her before, but I met Mary DeRee. I lived in the at the tallest hill in San Carlos, and it was winding like this, and Mary lived a little further down. And starting in seventh grade, we would meet at a place called The Rocks, and we would walk all the way down, and then we'd have to walk all the way up. We lived in a day and age that if you called your parents, which we didn't have phones on us, so it was very hard to call your parents, and said at the bottom of the hill, "Hey, can you give me a ride home?" they would laugh and say, "What's wrong with your legs? Are they broken?" You know, no, they never drove. Oh, we were on our own. Anyway, at the end of our seventh grade year, we were at The Rocks, about to part for the summer, and we decide, why don't we be best friends? Yeah, I want to be your best friend. So go forward. I'm not going to give you the exact years, but we have been best friends all these years through thick and thin. So I have another friend, and I have walked with this friend for over 30 years. She and I are about the same height, so we make good walking buddies. Our daughters are best friends. And anyway, so one day we're walking and talking, and I'm referring back to my friend, my best friend, Mary DeRee. Oh, you know, my best friend, Mary DeRee. Mary DeRee, who is my best friend, and this is what my tall walking buddy did. She goes, "Excuse me, what am I, chopped liver?" And I said, "Well, Mary is my oldest best friend. You're my tallest best friend." Paul here is talking about two friends. Two friends, not just somebody he walks with, not somebody he just goes to coffee with, but two friends in the Lord. Two friends that he highly commends and trusts. So let's look first at Timothy. Now, Timothy is not a Facebook friend or an acquaintance of Paul. Paul refers to him as a soulmate, fully trusted, commended by the Apostle Paul. We know that Timothy is young. He's late teens, early 20s. In 1 Timothy 4:12, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and in purity." He was young. He had tummy issues. There's a number of other things about him. He's mentioned at least 24 times in the New Testament. But let me tell you my very favorite thing about Timothy. And there's a lot about Timothy that is so very good. The Apostle Paul writes this. Two of the pastoral letters are written to Timothy, Timothy 1 and 2 Timothy. He says this, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which brought you to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." So you see what happened? Timothy, his father's a Greek, a non-believer, but his mother and grandmother are devout Jews. They know the scripture, they know the Old Testament, and from the time that Timothy was young, they passed on the scriptures to him. So that on Paul's first missionary journey, he met this young Timothy, and Timothy came to faith. He had been prepared. Parents and grandparents, do you know how important it is for us to influence our children in the faith? How important it is in our life to do everything we can to pass on the scriptures that they might be pointed towards the Lord. So my grandchildren actually watch the live streams when I preach, and so shout out to my grandkids. Last time they watched when I preached, the oldest granddaughter, Madison Grace, said to her mother, "Mommy, how does Grammy know so much about Jesus?" And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing more. That absolutely just blesses my heart. Parents and grandparents, Glenkirk, as we have the Awana. It is so important that we pass on the faith, that we pray for our children so that one day, we have the baptism here of little Logan. One day, he is going to have to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior through the teachings of the church, through the teachings of parents and grandparents. May we be fully faithful and do not give up. If maybe your kids are not walking with the Lord right now, you bring them before the throne over and over through prayer. In John, the Apostle John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. May that be said of all of our children. Amen. Amen. So Timothy travels with Paul. And at this point, he is in Rome with the Apostle Paul. And Paul wants to send Timothy to the church in Philippi to encourage them in the faith. He says of him, I have nobody like him. Timothy is the one he will pass the baton of leadership to. What we know about Timothy is he became pastor of the church at Ephesus, the book that's written to the Ephesians. We believe, and this is not actually in scripture, but in writings that took place right about that time, that he died as bishop of Egypt, having been killed for his faith because he took a stand against the false idols of those days. When Paul says, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare, he compares them with other teachers, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. He writes about them in 1 Timothy. He writes about false teachers. He says, and when he's writing to Timothy, he's saying, you be careful because there are going to be these false teachers, but you watch your doctrine and your life. He says very strongly to Timothy. And he says this in 1 Timothy 4:6. Now, the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. So when Paul here is talking about Timothy and there'd be no other teachers like him, he's just saying, Timothy is teaching the truth. And then Paul, of course, warns him in these pastoral letters to watch his doctrine and not to be a teacher who peddles that which is not true. The scripture says that there will come a day when people will want to hear what their itching ears want to hear. Preacher, pastor, tell me what makes me feel good. Preacher, well, you know what does? Relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Timothy had proven to not just be a trusted friend, but a godly man who lived out the faith. And so Paul wants to send him to Philippi. Now we come to the second friend that is in this passage, Epaphroditus. So we have four granddaughters, and in August, we have just found out that we are going to have our fifth grandchild, and it's actually going to be a boy. So we have been texting possible names. All the ones I've sent are biblical, and I actually did throw Epaphroditus in. You know, do you know any Epaphrodituses? No, it's just really not a popular name, partly because of what it means. It means worshiper of Aphrodite. You know, he does not come from a believing family. Words, names meant a lot in biblical times. He did not come from a believing family. But what we know is that he is a member of the Philippi church. He's a covenant partner at the church in Philippi. That's pretty incredible. And what had happened is he had made that huge journey from Philippi all the way to Rome. He had brought a care package for the Apostle Paul. You know, maybe some money, maybe a change of clothes, maybe some gummy bears, you know, whatever we send with our kids to camp. He brought a care package, and it meant so much. And again, it was a hard, hard journey. They did not have trains, planes, and cars. You know, couldn't call an Uber. You know, he walked and took a ship, possibly on very stormy seas. Paul says this about him. He is his brother in the Lord, not blood brother by birth, but brother through the blood of Jesus Christ. He is a co-worker with the Apostle Paul for the gospel. He is a fellow soldier. He has contended for the faith with the Apostle Paul. He is a messenger of the word. I love that last name, by the way. I grew up with Akers, married into messenger. He is a messenger of the word. He is one that shares the truth. He's only mentioned two times, and it's in the book of Philippians. So Paul is planning, and the other thing about him is he became very ill, almost unto death. And Paul thought he was going to die, but it was a blessing for the church in Philippi because he was going to be able to send Epaphroditus back, obviously a blessing for Epaphroditus. But Paul says it was a blessing for him. And I think that just so that he did not have grief upon grief. And I think that just shows the kindness of God that he would bless Paul in that way. So Paul wants to send Timothy and Epaphroditus back to the church in Philippi. Why? To encourage the Philippian church to stay focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ. That they would not fall away, that their hearts would not harden, but rather they would stay fully surrendered followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God does not call us to be lone rangers. We need the body. We need people to come around us, to love us, to encourage us, to pray for us in the word. As iron sharpens iron, so does one believer sharpen another. So I want to show you a video, but I want to explain it first, okay? So there's this young football player. He's a freshman. His name is Corrigan. And he is a freshman player on Division II Minot State, okay? And he's back in right on the other team's end zone when a ball comes at him. And so I want you to watch it. And, you know, and he fumbles it, and then he picks it up. And then, of course, how's he going to get through all those big guys? Well, watch it, and then I want you to, in particular, Corey is number 13. I want you in particular to watch number 21 and the opposing team's number 11. So let's watch this.
...of Bulldog Athletics. Bulldogs, Cameron Hausman kicking for UMD. Back deep. Minot at fumble! Back into the end zone. Try and get it out. Is this a safety? Oh no, here they come the other way. Wow, Minot State out to the 30. Look at him. Kerrigan, midfield. Kerrigan to the 30. He's at the 25. 10, 5. This is about a 104-yard touchdown if it stands. Kerrigan dropped the ball, went back okay. To get it.
Oh, you got to love that play. You got to love that play. So, number 13, carrying the ball down. Would he have made it without 21 and 23? I don't think so. Because you see 11 come around, and he's actually faster than Corey. He would have taken him out. The scripture says that the devil prowls around like a lion, seeking to destroy our faith. We live in a world of warfare, spiritual warfare. And Satan's number one goal is to get us to take our eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ, to fumble and to fall down and not get back up. But God has called us to be a people in community. That we have people who block for us. People, when we can't take that next step, will help us. When we fall down, with love and grace, will help us back up. Who is your number 21? Who is your number 21? And who are you a number 21 for? In the faith. I'm talking about in the faith. Paul is not sending his close co-workers and soldiers who are trustworthy in the faith to make a touchdown, but to help the church at Philippi. work out their salvation with fear and trepidation, and by God's grace, make it to the goal line. Throughout scriptures, we have pictures of athletic sports always with running so as to win, running so as to get over that goal line, crossing the goal line. Galatians 5:7, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Who is your number 21? Who are you a number 21 for? In 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 7, Paul knows that he is about to die. So he's written these two epistles to Timothy, young pastor. He's going to pass the baton on. He knows that he is going to die. He says, you know, I'm being poured out. The time has come for my departure. He's not talking about taking a plane somewhere. He's talking about his death. But he says this with confidence. I have fought the good fight. And it's got the definitive article there, so it's the good fight, not just any fight. Lots of fights to be involved in. He said, I have fought the good fight. The good fight I have fought. I have finished the race. I didn't just start the race. Great to start the race. I have finished the race. The good race I have finished. And I have kept the faith. Not any faith. I have kept the faith. He had people around him. A man in prison for preaching the gospel. A man who was shipwrecked and beaten. But there were those who walked with him and encouraged him. To finish well requires a vigorous lifestyle called discipleship. That is learning to abide in Christ and putting off the old and putting on the new, and entering into radical change from the inside out and becoming what God in his grace and his mercy intends for us in the first place, that we would finish well, that we would finish well. I close with this illustration, Lord of the Rings, the final one of the trilogy. At the end, remember Frodo is supposed to take that evil ring that just grabs a hold of people. People just want to bow down and worship that ring. They want it at all costs. They'll do anything to get it. And he's been tasked with taking it and having it destroyed. And it's been an awful battle. And it's at the very end. And he is flat on his face and he has no energy. He can barely open his eyes. He just can't do it anymore. But he has this trustworthy friend, Sam Wyganji. And he says this, because Frodo just says, I can't go on anymore. Sam says, then let's be done with it, Mr. Frodo. I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you. That I can carry you. It says in Galatians, carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Who is your 21? Who's got your back? Who's in this spiritual warfare with you, holding you up? And who are you a 21 for? Who are you holding up? Who are you willing to stand and block that we all might one day stand? As the Apostle Paul said, I have fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, but not just for me, but for all who have longed for the Lord's returning. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious Lord, thank you for this example of Timothy and Epaphroditus. God, we pray that we would be a Timothy and an Epaphroditus to somebody. Show us who you're calling us to hold up and to pray for and to encourage in the faith. And Lord, we all need a 21. We all need a Timothy and Epaphroditus in our life. God, we pray. We pray for godly friends to come around us, love us enough to speak truth and grace, and help us up when we stumble. We bless you and thank you. Amen.